Welcome to the first deep dive of the Software Delivery Notebook.
It's a brand new series
where we'll be exploring the world of software development and delivery.
And get this.
Together.
We're your AI hosts.
Yeah.
Generated right here within Google's Notebook LM.
Think of us as your personal AI research assistants.
For all things.
For all things.
Software delivery.
That's right. We'll be diving deep into white papers, articles, and all sorts of resources.
To give you.
To extract.
Yeah, to extract.
The golden nuggets of knowledge.
Those golden nuggets.
And insight.
Absolutely.
For this first deep dive. We're tackling a white paper.
A white paper.
Titled, The Importance of Continuous Delivery.
It's a fantastic resource that not only defines continuous delivery,
right,
but also lays out why it's so crucial in today's fast-paced tech world.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's start with the basics.
Okay.
What exactly is continuous delivery?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking to software professionals here, but can you give us a definition? That would make sense even to someone outside the tech bubble.
Imagine a pipeline.
Okay.
Like a well-oiled machine where code goes in one end and a finished, ready-to-deploy product comes out the other end continuously.
Instead of those big, infrequent releases.
Exactly.
That used to be the norm.
Right.
Continuous delivery is all about producing small, deployable pieces of software in a steady stream.
Yeah. Think of it as a factory.
Okay.
That constantly churns out
okay.
high-quality products.
But it's not just about speed.
No.
It's about having a reliable and efficient process.
Exactly.
That churns out high-quality software.
Exactly.
Like a factory.
Absolutely. And to achieve that, the white paper highlights five key principles.
Five key principles.
That underpin continuous delivery.
Okay, let's hear them.
All right.
What's the first principle that makes this whole continuous delivery thing tick?
The first is building quality from the very start.
From the very start.
It's like baking a cake. You wouldn't just throw all the ingredients together and hope for the best.
Right.
You'd carefully measure, mix, and taste along the way to ensure each step is done right.
Right.
In software, this means incorporating quality checks throughout the development process.
Okay.
Not just at the end.
Not just at the end.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Catching those bugs early can save you a lot of headaches down the road.
Huge time saver.
What's next on the list?
Working in small batches.
Okay.
This is a core concept in continuous delivery. Instead of building massive features and releasing them all at once.
Right.
The idea is to break work down into smaller, more manageable chunks.
Yeah.
That can be developed, tested, and deployed independently.
So you're saying it's almost like,
it is like that.
Continuous integration in a way.
Yeah, it's like a mini version of that.
This seems counterintuitive though, right? Doesn't deploying more often increase the risk of things going wrong?
You would think so, but actually it's quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating is that deploying more often actually reduces risk.
Okay.
The white paper highlights this concept of batching risk.
Batching risk.
The more changes you bundle together, the harder it becomes to pinpoint the cause of a problem if one arises.
Oh, interesting.
Small batches isolate risk, making troubleshooting much smoother.
So it's like having a series of small controlled experiments rather than one giant gamble.
Exactly.
If something goes wrong, you know exactly where to look.
Exactly.
This brings us to the next principle.
Okay.
Computers repeat. Humans solve problems.
Yes.
Can you expand on that?
This is all about automation. Letting computers handle the repetitive, predictable tasks frees up human brain power for creative problem solving, strategic thinking.
Yeah.
And those uniquely human skills that can't be automated, like intuition, creativity.
It's all about playing to each other's strengths.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Let the machines do what they do best and let humans focus on what makes us human.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That leaves us with two more principles.
Okay.
Fill us in.
The fourth principle is relentlessly improve.
Relentlessly improve.
Continuous delivery is not a one-time project.
Right.
It's an ongoing journey of improvement.
So it's a mindset?
It is a mindset.
Okay.
It's about constantly looking for ways to optimize your processes,
right,
refine your tools, and enhance your skills.
So it's like those Olympic athletes always striving to shave milliseconds off their time.
Exactly.
Those tiny improvements can add up to a big difference, especially when you're repeating the process frequently.
Absolutely.
All right, last but not least,
okay,
what's the final principle that makes continuous delivery work?
Everyone is responsible.
Everyone is responsible.
This principle emphasizes that continuous delivery is a team sport.
A team sport.
It's not just the developer's responsibility.
Right.
Or the operations team's responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a shared responsibility that involves everyone who plays a role in getting software from idea to production.
So it's about breaking down those silos between departments and fostering a culture of collaboration and shared ownership.
Exactly.
So like a well-coordinated orchestra where each musician plays their part to create a harmonious symphony.
Absolutely.
And in the world of software development, that symphony is delivering high-quality software.
Yes.
Quickly and reliably.
Quickly and reliably.
Okay, so now we have a good grasp of the why.
Yeah.
Of continuous delivery.
Yeah.
The underlying principles.
The foundation.
That make it work.
Yes.
But this white paper also dives into the how.
It does.
Specifically, it outlines 7 key technical capabilities.
It does.
You need to actually implement continuous delivery successfully.
You need all 7.
Okay.
They are like the pillars.
The pillars
of continuous delivery.
All right, let's break down those 7 capabilities and see how they fit into the bigger picture.
Let's do this.
What's the first one?
The first capability is loosely coupled architecture.
Okay, that sounds a bit technical. Can you break it down for us?
Think of it like building with Legos. Each brick can be swapped out or modified without bringing down the entire structure.
Okay.
In software terms, this means building your application in small, independent modules that can be deployed and updated individually.
So if one module needs fixing or updating, you don't have to redeploy the entire application.
Exactly.
You could just swap out that one module without disrupting everything else.
Yes.
I can see how that would be important for continuous delivery.
It's essential.
Where you're constantly making changes and updates.
All the time.
Got it. What's next on our list of capabilities?
Next up, we have continuous integration and trunk-based development.
Okay.
This is where developers really get into the groove of continuous delivery.
I'm familiar with the concept, but for those who aren't, can you explain what it entails?
Sure. The idea is to avoid those massive, painful code merges where conflicts are inevitable. Yeah.
Instead, developers integrate their changes into the main code base, often referred to as the trunk.
Okay.
Frequently, sometimes even multiple times a day.
Multiple times a day.
Yes.
Wow.
So we're talking very frequent integration.
So it's about encouraging a culture of frequent integration to ensure everyone's working with the latest code and to catch those integration issues early on.
Yes, exactly.
This must tie in closely with the next capability.
It does.
Continuous testing.
It absolutely does. Continuous testing is like having a safety net under every step of your software development process.
Okay.
Catching errors early before they snowball into bigger problems.
Right.
It involved automating tests as much as possible so that feedback is quick and constant.
This makes a lot of sense. In a world where you're deploying changes frequently, you need a way to ensure those changes aren't introducing bugs or breaking existing functionality.
You need to know that your changes are good.
What's the next capability we need to consider?
The fourth capability is database change management. Database change management.
This might sound a bit dry, but it's actually quite exciting.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Why is database management so exciting in the context of continuous delivery?
Think of it like performing open heart surgery on your data while the system is still running.
Wow, okay.
You need to be incredibly precise and careful to avoid any downtime or data loss.
Yeah.
That's essentially what database change management allows you to do in a continuous delivery environment. You can make changes to your database schema, migrate data, and deploy database updates without disrupting your application.
So it's about ensuring your database can keep up with the pace of continuous delivery without sacrificing data integrity or availability?
Absolutely.
That's a pretty critical piece of the puzzle.
A very critical piece.
And it brings us to another crucial capability, deployment automation.
Right.
This seems like a natural extension of the computers repeat, humans solve problems principle we discussed earlier.
You are absolutely right. Deployment automation is all about letting computers handle the repetitive, often error-prone tasks of deploying software to different environments. This frees up your team to focus on higher value activities like developing new features, improving code quality, and responding to user feedback.
It's like having a robotic arm carefully placing each freshly baked cookie on the cooling rack.
I like that analogy.
Ensuring consistency and precision. Speaking of precision, let's move on to the next capability. Monitoring and observability.
This is where you gain insights into how your software is actually performing in the real world.
Okay.
It's about going beyond basic monitoring and understanding the impact of your deployments on user experience, system performance, and business metrics.
So it's not just about knowing if your servers are up and running.
Yeah.
It's about understanding how your software is being used and how those deployments are affecting your users and your business goals. It's about gaining real-time visibility into the health and performance of your application, and using that information to make informed decisions about future deployments and improvements.
Precisely.
This all sounds incredibly valuable, but I have to ask, what's the final capability that rounds out this set of essential ingredients for continuous delivery?
The seventh and final capability is infrastructure as code.
Infrastructure as code.
It's a practice that brings the principles of software development to the management of your infrastructure.
Oh.
Instead of manually configuring servers and networks,
right,
you define your infrastructure using code.
Okay.
Just like you define your application code.
So it's like having a blueprint for your entire infrastructure that can be version control, tested, and automated, just like any other piece of software.
Precisely.
This approach brings consistency, repeatability, and scalability to your infrastructure management, making it much easier to deploy and manage your applications in a continuous delivery environment. Okay, we've now covered the seven key capabilities that underpin continuous delivery.
We have.
It's clear that this is more than just a buzzword.
It's a way of life.
It's a comprehensive approach to software development that requires careful planning, the right tools, and a commitment to continuous improvement. But the real question is, why does all of this matter? Why should organizations invest the time and effort to embrace continuous delivery? We'll delve into the real-world benefits and why you should care, even if you're not a software developer, in part two of our deep dive.
Stay tuned!
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Software Delivery Notebook.
We just covered those seven key capabilities that power continuous delivery.
Yeah, it's clear that there are a lot of moving parts to this approach.
It's a comprehensive system.
But you're saying the benefits are worth it.
The benefits are well worth the effort.
Okay, so let's dig into that.
Yeah.
Why should organizations care about continuous delivery?
Right.
What are the real-world advantages?
The white paper makes a very, very strong case for this. Backed by tons of research and data showing that organizations who use continuous delivery outperform those who don't.
Okay, that's interesting. But what kind of outperformance are we talking about? Like, give us the specifics.
Yeah, it's not just anecdotal evidence. We're talking about rigorous studies from reputable organizations.
Okay.
Like DORA, the DevOps Research and Assessment Group.
Okay.
They show a very clear link between continuous delivery practices and improved software delivery performance.
So it's data-driven, not just hype.
Exactly.
What specific improvements does this research highlight?
Well, one of the biggest advantages is faster feedback loops.
Okay.
Remember our pipeline analogy. Continuous delivery is like having a constant stream of feedback at each stage of that pipeline.
Okay.
Allowing teams to catch errors early and adjust course quickly.
So almost like getting customer reviews as you write each chapter of a book instead of waiting until after it's published to find out if people like it.
Yes, exactly. This rapid feedback translates into tangible benefits.
Well,
organizations using continuous delivery release software faster have higher quality products and experience fewer of those stressful last-minute deployment fire drills.
Fewer fire drills sounds like a dream come true. But does the white paper have any hard numbers to back this up? I'm all about the data.
Absolutely. The data shows that high-performing organizations, those who fully embrace continuous delivery principles, they release software at a significantly higher frequency.
Okay, how much higher? Like, give us some quantifiable data.
High performers.
Okay.
They deploy on demand.
Okay.
Multiple times per day.
Wow.
Compared to low performers who release new software every few months or even less often.
That's a massive difference in speed and agility. But what about quality? Does releasing more often mean sacrificing stability?
That's a great question. And actually, the research shows the opposite of the right. High performers have a significantly lower change failure rate. Meaning that their deployments are less likely to cause problems in production.
So they're releasing more often, but with higher quality.
Exactly.
That's impressive. But all of this efficiency, all this quality, it sounds like it requires a major cultural shift and investment.
You're right. There is definitely an upfront investment involved, but the return on that investment can be substantial. The white paper cites a case study where an organization achieved a tenfold return on their continuous delivery investment with a payback period of just 1 month.
1 month. That's amazing. What were some of the specific ways that this organization benefited from continuous delivery?
They saw a dramatic increase in developer productivity, a significant reduction in deployment-related errors, and a faster time to market for new features.
So it sounds like continuous delivery is a win-win for everyone. Faster deployments, higher quality, happier developers, and a quicker return on investment. But, you know, the white paper also mentions something called failure demand.
It does.
Can you explain what that is and how continuous delivery helps to address it?
Failure demand refers to the work that wouldn't be necessary if things had been done right the first time.
Okay.
So it's about fixing bugs, remediating issues, and generally cleaning up messes.
Okay, so it's like having to go back and rebake a batch of cookies because you forgot to add a key ingredient the first time around.
Yes, exactly. The research shows that high-performing organizations experience significantly less failure demand.
Makes sense.
Than their lower-performing counterparts.
If you're building quality in from the start, testing continuously deploying in small batches, you're less likely to introduce errors that require rework later on.
That's the idea. Continuous delivery helps shift the focus from firefighting to innovation, allowing teams to spend more time building new features and delivering value to customers.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've seen that continuous delivery leads to faster deployments, higher quality, happier developers, and a quicker return on investment. But I'm sure there are still some people out there who are maybe a little skeptical.
Sure.
What would you say to those who are hesitant to embrace continuous delivery?
I understand the hesitation. But the evidence is clear. Continuous delivery isn't just a fad. It's a proven approach that delivers real results.
Right.
The benefits are tangible and the research is robust. It's about working smarter, not harder.
And in today's fast-paced technology landscape, that can make all the difference.
It really can. Organizations that embrace continuous delivery will be better equipped to respond to changing market demands, deliver value to customers faster, and stay ahead of the competition.
This has been a fascinating exploration of the why behind continuous delivery. But how do organizations actually implement these principles and capabilities? What are the practical steps involved in adopting this approach? We'll tackle those questions and explore the implementation side of continuous delivery in part 3 of our deep dive. Welcome back to the Software Delivery Notebook.
We are back for the final part of our deep dive into continuous delivery.
We've covered the what and the why.
Now it's time to tackle the how.
That's the million-dollar question.
How do you actually put continuous delivery into practice?
Right. The white paper paints a pretty compelling picture of the benefits.
It does.
But I imagine getting started can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, it can be a little daunting.
Where do you even begin?
You're right. Implementing continuous delivery, it isn't just a flip of a switch,
right.
It's a journey. The key is to start small, focus on those quick wins,
okay,
and build momentum from there.
So what are some practical first steps that organizations can take to get this ball rolling, to get the continuous delivery ball rolling?
Yeah, one of the easiest places to start is with automation.
Okay.
Identify those manual tasks that are eating up your team's time.
Right.
And explore ways to automate them.
Like those tedious deployments that can take hours or even days to complete.
Exactly. Automating your deployments
can
free up a huge amount of time and reduce the risk of human error.
And that extra time can then be spent on more valuable activities, like building new features, improving code quality, or addressing technical debt. What else can organizations do to start their continuous delivery journey?
Another great place to start is with testing.
Testing.
Making sure you have a robust suite of automated tests that can run quickly and provide rapid feedback.
This ties back to those faster feedback loops we talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
The sooner you can catch those bugs, the easier and cheaper they are to fix.
You got it. And remember, continuous delivery, it's a team sport. It requires collaboration and communication across different departments,
right.
Not just within the development team.
So break down those silos and get everyone on board with this idea of delivering value faster and more frequently.
Exactly. The white paper also emphasizes the importance of monitoring and observability. It's not enough to just deploy software. You need to track how it's performing in the real world.
Okay.
And use that data to drive continuous improvement.
Just like keeping an eye on customer feedback.
Yeah.
To see if your new product is actually meeting their needs.
That's a great analogy.
Use data and analytics to understand how your software is being used. Mm. Identify bottlenecks and pinpoint those areas for optimization.
You got it. So it's a continuous cycle of building, deploying, monitoring, and improving.
And the faster you can spin that cycle, the more value you can deliver.
Absolutely. That's the essence of continuous delivery. It's about embracing change, learning from feedback, and constantly striving to deliver the best possible software to your users.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful.
I agree.
What stands out to you the most from our exploration of continuous delivery?
For me, it's the overwhelming evidence supporting the benefits of this approach. It's not just a theoretical concept,
right.
It's a proven method,
yeah,
backed by data and real-world success stories.
And it's not just about technical improvements.
Yeah.
It's about creating a more positive and fulfilling work environment,
yeah,
where teams can focus on innovation and delivering value to customers.
Absolutely. Continuous delivery empowers teams to work smarter, not harder. And that leads to greater job satisfaction, reduced burnout, and a more engaged workforce.
So to wrap up, what advice would you give to someone who is ready to embark on their own continuous delivery adventure?
I would say, don't be afraid to start small. Identify a pain point in your current process.
Okay.
Experiment with some of the principles and capabilities we've discussed.
Okay.
And measure the results.
And remember, continuous delivery, it's a journey, not a destination. It's about continuous learning, improvement, and adaptation.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This has been a fantastic introduction to the world of continuous delivery.
Thank you for joining us.
We hope you've gained some valuable insights and are feeling inspired to embrace the power of continuous delivery.
Until next time.